Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
If I read one more post about people complaining about fireworks because their dog is upset, I'm going to go insane. Get a better dog. I don't know any other way to say it. That's probably more insulting than it should be. I have a dog. Her name is Julep. She is a golden retriever. You could have the war of 1812 outside our door, and she sits here like ain't nothing but a thing. She sleeps. She doesn't move. Fireworks don't bother her. Thunder doesn't bother her. Nothing bothers her. That's because my dog is great. I'm really sorry that your dog is not as good as mine. It's not your fault. It doesn't make you a bad person. Is it really necessary, though, to bitch about fireworks every single... So trust me, all the things you're bitching, why do people play fireworks so much? You know you're just as bad as them when you're bitching about it every single day. And I understand there are things you can't control. If you're 6'5", you're never going to be a jockey. That's just, it's never going to happen. It's just physically, I'm so sorry, it's not going to happen. I know it's not. I feel bad for you that apparently your dog is soft. I don't know what to tell you. I feel bad for you. But as someone whose dog is not soft, let me just say, it's actually a sympathetic take. I feel bad for you. My dog is not soft. And you can come light a firecracker next to her ear, and she will go, whatever.
The only people worse that complain about fireworks are people that take pictures of fireworks
and put them
on social media. It's the Round Table with Round Daddy, Max Godby, and Anna Tarillo in today.
Yo, yo, yo.
And old Strebel. He's living his best life right now in New York.
He's killing it, dude.
He's
never coming back.
He can make it as a New Yorker.
Yeah.
He can make it as a New Yorker.
He's really loving it up there. He's got his Airbnb all to himself. We're never going to get him back.
No.
He's going to start doing the show up there.
He's gone at this point.
He's having a time.
He's checking the real estate market now in New York and mainland New York. He's like, okay, if I sell a few things, you know, mm-hmm. I can make this work. I can make
sell
it work.
Sell a kid or two.
Exactly.
Do what you gotta do. Man, that lock sound that we opened with is so all time. I will never get sick of hearing that. Man, he said, you know, it's not your fault if your dog, you know, gets scared by the fireworks. But it kind of sounded like he was proud that his dog didn't. So I think he was taking some points.
It's not your fault, but when your dog doesn't bark at fireworks and lose its mind, I did that.
It's on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All the pros are me. All the cons, I have nothing to do with.
My favorite thing about 4th of July and fireworks is when people who live in like a really like suburban, like nice neighborhood be like, I didn't know if it was a gunshot or fireworks. When have you ever heard a gunshot in your neighborhood ever? What do you think it is? That is like my pet peeve.
Anyone that says that they think it's a gunshot is someone that has not heard a gunshot.
Because
those are two very distinct sounds.
Right?
Very distinct.
Oh, good times.
So, funny fireworks story. It wasn't funny, but it was humorous after I realized what was happening. So, after all that happened with Israel and Hamas, like back in October, and that happened over the weekend, all of a sudden, this was right when thunder was going on. So some whatever current event thing happened back in April that everyone was kind of on edge, just pick one at this point. And there was...
It was the debate.
Yeah, it's, that's good, Tanner. And we were sitting outside, and all of a sudden, Black Hawk helicopter goes over our house, which isn't anything new. The UPS, air routes,
like the hub thing.
Their flight routes are right over our house.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's cool. It's
you can watch
cool
your packages
exactly.
just come right in.
Exactly.
It's awesome. Like, all right.
But it was going across those. It was going across those air routes. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Huh. And then a second one, and then a third one, and then a fourth one. Then there was like a fleet that just went over. And I was like, is there something going on? And then,
of course you were on it.
And then there was other military planes that were going on. And then you could hear something in the distance. And I was like, all right, what's going on? And so I text my brother-in-law who's in the Army.
Oh, yeah.
And just, hey, insider information. Like, something happening right now? And he goes, dude, you're an idiot. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I'm not really panicking, but I'm like, okay, it doesn't make sense to have this much
action
going on right now. And my wife looks at me, and I think this is the first time she just realized just how big of an idiot I am and just how stupid I can be at times. She goes, Max, you know, it's tomorrow's thunder.
Oh, did you feel like a fool?
I felt like such
a fool.
Did
all the adrenaline just like leave your body? Because I feel like you were very much like on that attack. You're like, I got to protect my family. We're going into war. I got to round up the troops. Get in our bunker, guys. Get down there. Like, I feel like you would have been ready. But I bet you just were like, ooh,
false alarm.
Dodged a bullet there. Not war, just a little derby festivities. Same thing, really, preparing for derby, honestly, at times.
Texter involving Strebel. He's looking for a Catholic middle school that's hiring up in New York.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious. And then thank you for playing the better dog sound.
It's yes. so good.
Good call on that, Tanner. Great job. Great job.
That's all James.
That was
I
like the
okay,
Lord was
James
speaking Black, through him, baby. Like that felt like a sermon. I was like, all right, that was the Holy Ghost coming out of him. You couldn't even, man, that was good. That was an emotional plea.
It was
good. That was classic Locke.
So we can't continue the show without talking about this real quick. Today marks the 5th anniversary of Jared Lorenzen's passing. Mm-hmm. And as someone that grew up in the state and just saw just how electric that dude was and how
he's the only UK player that I actually enjoy.
Not me.
Really?
I mean, yeah, of course, Godby.
Wow. You say it right to his face, Tanner.
All right, but you weren't the hefty lefty. You weren't throwing.
I mean, that's very true.
Weighing.
I was just the hefty righty that couldn't throw. I had to snap it between my legs is what I had
that's
to
hilarious.
Do. But the way he played the game and the electricity that he brought to the game was absolutely astounding. And it is... The biggest thing was when he came back and when he started to become a personality, especially his time on KSR and just how he was just so beloved by fans.
Absolutely.
And really just was able to generate and be that guy that was just always around the fans. Mm-hmm. This guy that was a demigod of Kentucky athletics to constantly just be around fans, be one of the fans, tailgating and all that. And then also just how open he was with the struggles that he had and how he was seeking accountability with everyone to keep him accountable in his journey and the things that he struggled with. But I mean, Jared was such a cool soul to be mm-hmm. around. Got the opportunity to do a couple shows with him.
Did you?
In Lexington when I was with WLAP, and just an awesome guy, and just rest in peace to the hefty lefty.
Absolutely. I think that was the coolest thing about him was he's this legend, but it's almost like he didn't know it. He was just a man of the people. He just interacted with very vulnerable in his health stuff and just being around. It's like I think he maybe even realized the magnitude that he had, but that's when, you know, I've lived kind of everywhere all over New York, DC, Georgia, West Virginia. And that's like one, you mentioned Kentucky football and immediately that's somebody that people bring up. So
exactly.
I just think that's so great. And, that's definitely one of the first big names that I knew in Kentucky football. I never got the chance to meet him though. I'm really upset about that. Never even a handshake, nothing, not a conversation.
He's a cool dude. Really cool dude.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champ. And then wasn't he like kind of like a modern day Jackie Moon with the River Monsters? Like,
yeah,
wasn't he a GM? Was also the star of QB?
Yeah, he was GM.
He was doing the promos.
He was
fighting a bear after the game.
Right.
Like, he was awesome.
Dude, and he was playing for the River Monsters at like $4 million also, which is wild.
Those pictures are crazy.
Wild, dude.
Man.
How freak of an athlete that he was. There was a 6-minute video someone put up on Twitter today, and that's how I started off my morning, was just watching that highlight reel, and just what he was able to do at his size is just absolutely unreal.
That's a true athlete. That's what that is.
It truly is. And especially think of where Lorenzen would have been with like a Brady Collins that we talked to yesterday, or just the advancement of strength and conditioning and high performance training, all of that, and how it could have been even crazier, how crazier of an athlete he could have been.
For sure.
Someone posted the video today of when the UK fans were leaving the Arkansas game. It goes, where are y'all going? Y'all gonna miss one hell of a game.
I love it. That is like the essential clip of him.
That is the epitome of his personality.
Yep.
That was the epitome of his personality. So.
I feel like also just of the Kentucky football program, just the identity of like, you know, don't count us out. We're not. We don't look like we would be, you know, a huge threat. But every now and then we'll surprise you with some stuff. So have they found a way? I know his jersey is always like the most requested that people want to buy. Have they found a way to make that happen? And decide? I mean, I'm sure. Could you maybe customize it or something? I don't know.
I'm sure you can customize it. Now you get into the so like really weird uncharted territory when it comes to customized jerseys now, because now of them they're all NIL. Like, if you want to get a customized jersey, and I believe this is the case currently, is if you were to try to go on UK Team Shop to do it, you have to get a customized jersey of someone that's on the team.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't get one that had 22 Lorenzen or 22 Tirillo on it. You wouldn't be able to do it unless you just went to the shady background.
Yeah.
And that's
like
that's what I was saying.
Like, it in your
a DH gate where you get it back in like 3 months.
Sheen,
but it was like
baby.
$14.
Yeah.
Which is like,
and it's also the size for a Barbie, but that's okay. Your dog can wear it. I remember I tried to like make one customized a Lorenzen jersey, but you couldn't do it at the time. This may have even been before NIL, probably right after, but I just think that would just sell like fire. That would be something cool that they could do. And, you know, it could go to his kids or something.
Exactly.
I wish they could find a way to make that work.
What was cool about Throw Boy Tees was when after he passed, 100% of the proceeds went to his family before they shut it down.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. Texter, I'm a big Louisville fan. And years ago, he was in the crowd here in town cheering on some Cincinnati players he knew versus Louisville. I spoke to him for a few, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy. I left the interaction as a fan of his.
He is a Wildcat,
He's
cheering against us now.
Yeah, baby.
He's kind of like how we – you guys had Hefty Lefty, and then Louisville in the 90s, they had Escalade from the And-One mixtape.
Oh,
he played with Maven, and I, like, talked to Maven.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like,
I think his senior year, Troy Jackson.
Louisville?
Yeah.
No way.
One day, just during college, we were drinking or something, and we're like, oh, let's put on some basketball highlights. And then like one of my buddies was like, yo, let's put on Escalade.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so in. And like we were like, this guy's awesome. And then I looked him up and I was like, yo, guys, you won't believe it. He was here.
I think that's always you with your friends.
Yeah.
You're like, Lamar Jackson? Where did he go? You're
God, yeah, that one was bad.
Hi.
Have you ever heard of that story?
No.
I had my roommate
ask
me, like, it was like Monday night and it was like Lamar's MVP year, so he's big time. And he's like, Where did Lamar go? And I literally like threw down like something and I was like, you're an idiot. And he was like, oh my God. And then I think it was the same game. It was like Louisville quarterbacks, blah, 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 and like MVPs. Or maybe it was the year after and it was like Johnny Unitas. And he was like, oh, that's why it's called Unitas Hall. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Like, this is grounds for a friendship termination. That's what
this is saying is Kentucky is home of the two unorthodox athletes, like a QB that's big like that, and then Escalade, he had the hands of like a guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
also was an O lineman. Like, he was
no
awesome.
Idea.
Though.
I had no idea he went here. I remember my brother, he used to show me like the And One mixtapes and the highlights and everything. And Escud, I was just like so taken by it and just hypnotized by it. That's wild. But yeah, you're a good call. Good comparison, Tanner.
Yeah, very good, Tanner. You're on fire so far.
Get it.
You're on fire so far. So
I'm a savant.
You are a savant. You are a savant. So one thing before we get into the rest of the show. So Strebel, how it was supposed to be game planned, was he was supposed to start teasing this a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And knowing Strebel sometimes gets distracted, let's just say. He sometimes gets distracted.
He's on Team ADHD and he just don't know it yet.
Yeah, I've
diagnosed him.
Exactly. And so he's been working on something since back in the winter. This has been a project that he's been working on. I've been supporting him in it. And
it's not another kid.
No. No.
This one's going to be named JJ.
That's good. That's very good. I don't know. With his response the other day, may have been JV on.
Right?
But he has been working on something for 6 months, almost a year now. And the official announcement for it is going to be on Monday when he gets back. So obviously, don't have the show Thursday and Friday for 4th of July for the 4th of July holiday. But when he's back on Monday, he will be giving the official announcement for this. When I say, as someone who's gotten to look behind the curtain and take a look at this, when I say this is the biggest announcement since he took over this show. I'm not exaggerating on that. This is going to change both Kentucky and Louisville fans forever. am I wrong in that? I mean,
no.
This is going to be very cool.
Y'all are gonna love it.
It's when the idea was proposed, it was just hitting the head. It was like, this is the most obvious thing that you could do, and. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cool. And there's no better person than Strebel to be the front man for this. Mm-hmm. So wait till Monday. I don't know when he plans on announcing it on Monday, but obviously sometime during the show he'll make his official announcement. But it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be good stuff.
It's going to be cool.
What if we were announcing that he was going to take over as Biden as the Democratic nominee? Like, that's what we're teasing right now. It's going to be vote for Strebel. What,
big blue.
Andy Beshear.
Yeah.
It's another
Kentuckian. What could the announcement be? It's since Beshear is going to take over for Biden, Strebel's
going to be governor, baby.
Even though he is a resident of Indiana.
It's okay. Don't ask questions. Listen, they do it all the time. Move some things around. But no, this is exciting. And I just found out what this was literally 30 seconds before we started the show. And it's exciting, y'all. It's funny. Y'all are going to like it. I think it'll be a good way to get fans and texters and listeners and everybody involved.
Exactly. It's going to be awesome. Texter, Jared Lorenzen was was beloved by the New York Giants and their fans. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was definitely a culture guy for the New York Giants, and that can't be underestimated enough, because you see guys that will just don't play.
I heard he was the one that put the double bubble on Tyree's helmet for that
what?
Catch.
It sounds like something that Lorenzen would do, but. It can't go without saying how it's so important in a NFL locker room to have guys that are the culture guys that are able to set the tone for you. You look at the likes of Chase Daniel, who was a stud at Missouri, Heisman finalist, but when he got the NFL, he did nothing.
Yeah, but he made a lot of money.
He made a lot of money. I think it was he played the equivalent of 3.5 games.
Good Lord.
And racked in, I think it was like 48 mil.
Part of my take, guys, were like, yeah, you for every completed pass,
you got
made like 1.5 mil or something. And I was like, wow.
Lord, I see what you have
also,
done
he has
for
one
others.
Of the best quotes ever where it was like, yeah, like, you play in the SEC and you're like fifth in Heisman voting. yeah, you can do whatever you want in the NFL or something. Like, yeah. You just got to be a backup. And like, he's like, it's the best move ever.
That's a backup king. That's a hero.
Yeah, but not even that. The way that he was always brought in to mentor the young quarterback, the young rising star.
For sure.
And just accepting that role it speaks a lot to the character of a player that knows, hey, we're bringing you in because you ain't the guy, but you can help mentor the guy that's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
So those are very important to have.
And I think going back to Jared Lorenzen, I think that's part of what made him so special too, because I think it means a lot when your culture guy is also like from the state, like he's a Kentucky guy, right? So I think that means a lot, especially a place like here, you know, you feel like you can relate to them. Like people understand the tradition a little bit more, but definitely, he was even a culture guy with the media stuff. He did it. Just seemed like everyone kind of, even tailgating, everyone kind of gravitated towards him.
100%. Texter played at Dixie Heights High School when he played at Highlands. Absolute beast. Oh, yeah. I can only imagine.
Can you imagine facing him in high school?
No.
Good Lord.
Oh, no. I got the tweet that Chase Daniel had. So it was someone tweeted, you mind if I go 2008 Chase Daniel mode this weekend? And it's like him in his like Missouri jersey, and he goes, okay, here's what you're going to do. First, you need to gain 15 pounds. Then pick up a 30 rack of Keystone Light. Next, find your closest Taco Bell drive-thru. Order roughly one of everything on the menu. Finish with an invitation to the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
We love a self-aware king, too, though. That makes it so much better when you can laugh at yourself. Gosh, that's really, really good. And also, man, what a string for Kentucky there with the quarterbacks, like making, you know, a big national impact. It was Tim Couch then, like, right after Jared Lorenzen, right?
Yeah, because you had Tim Couch, then Jared Lorenzen. Who was after Jared Lorenzen at that
point? I don't remember.
Because you had... Was Andre after that?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was going to guess, but I could be wrong.
I felt like there was one more quarterback in between, but you had younger Andre, which he wasn't as good then, but then obviously once he hit 06 and 07,
right,
was great. And then you had Hartline.
It went Tim Couch, Dusty Bonner for a year.
Dusty, that's what it was.
And then,
I'm sorry,
Lorenzen.
I'm sorry.
Then Lorenzen, and then Shane Boyd, then Andre
Woodson. Shane. I know Shane, too.
And then four games of Randall Cobb, and then Mike Hartline.
And then Mike Hartline. When I covered the AFL, Shane Boyd was the quarterback on our team.
Oh, really?
And I covered in Baltimore. It was so... We just cut up about it. We had such a great time. Great guy.
Shane Boyd's awesome.
Yes, great guy. You know what? Do you think Rich Brooks gets enough credit for his quarterbacks that he had? I feel like that's talked about a little bit, but it's almost seemed like his tenure, I feel like, is reminiscent of Tubby Smith a little bit to me. Like, it doesn't get the right kind of credit for how just where they were on the national landscape. It was better than what we've seen and what we're used to and what happened before and after. And look at the quarterbacks he brought in. We're still talking about him.
Brooks was so good when it came to getting the talent that he could possibly get and developing it. He was not one that was not going to win. He wasn't going to win the state of Ohio. He wasn't at that time going to beat Louisville for the state of Kentucky, especially try to win recruits in Louisville. So he had to win what he could get. But then the most important thing was develop that talent that was around him. I mean, you look at the likes of like Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb was a 2-star out of Tennessee. you get Andre, who was a decent quarterback, but if you were to compare Andre and Brian Brohm, that was both coming out of the state of Kentucky, obviously Brian Brohm was the obvious quarterback that you would want to pick between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a Justin Jeffries. I mean, Justin Jeffries was a freshman, and he developed him into a freaking machine.
God, that's awesome.
A machine when he was there.
Shout out Justin.
And so it's... I think it was so much of he did so well with what he had.
He developed more than...
And especially when you had the... athletic department that was not putting money into football, which was why Brooks butted heads with that athletic department for so long, and ultimately where he was like, I'm just going to go ahead and retire. Because there was not a seriousness on competing in the SEC. Because the SEC at that point, that landscape was changing so quick to where it was 06, you had your first SEC champion, SEC championship team that won a national championship. Then in 07, you had another one. Then in 08, then in 09. So it was, okay, all the talent's starting to really funnel in. There was already a talent discrepancy between some of the conferences, and SEC had a little bit of an edge. But this is where that edge started to get to a completely...
Over the Big Ten,
exactly,
and Big 12. Right.
Exactly. To once you saw kind of Nebraska's decline, and you,
Oklahoma.
And then when SEC was able to figure out how to recruit Ohio and Michigan, and also in the Midwest as well, as just as you said, that's where the game changed so much to the SEC's favor at that point.
For sure.
So, and you saw teams that were able to do well. You saw others that were not, because that was the ultimate. That was the ultimate arms race at that point. You entered into a cold war of just stacking up ammunition of facilities, stadiums, the coaching staffs, the boosters. I mean, the way that UK's facilities were, the way that UK's facilities were just so below par. Before.
Even until recently, the indoor one.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Last year in the SEC.
Exactly. That in the Nutter indoor is one of the most horrific places I've ever had.
It's not even a full size field.
No, it's not. It is now.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
No,
until like a year and a half ago.
The end zones were cut off.
That's the craziest. When I learned that stat, like Vanderbilt had a better, like at least a full size thing.
The worst thing about that facility was I hated days where it was raining, and I'm just like, let's just suck it up and let's just go and just finish playing outside.
I'd rather get struck by lightning right now than
then
go in there.
As soon as you heard that whistle blow and everyone go into the field house, I was like, no.
Please don't make me.
We had pants. My final year there, they were the checkerboard like shorts, the checkerboard shorts.
Oh yeah,
those are nice shorts. I still wear those.
You still got the checkerboard?
Oh yeah, I've got like three pairs.
Oh heck yeah,
like, I love those.
Stockpile.
But they were like rain, like storm fit material where water would just splash off of it.
Yeah,
so your pants weren't getting heavy because you were sweating so much.
Yeah.
I still found a way for those to retain water because it was
so hot
and humid inside of that facility.
Yeah.
It was bananas of just how awful that facility was. Not just from facility-wise, just being inside of it was just
for sure.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
I will not. They used to have the facility open inside, and my son wanted to go in there and play, and I went, no.
No,
I'm not going in
there. You're like, I'm not going to let you do that.
I'm not going back in here.
I told my wife,
I said, you can go. I'm not going to go in there and just sweat completely through this polo. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So, like, he's still little. So, like, have you been able to share a lot of, like, the UK football stuff with him yet? Like, are you looking forward to that? I know he's still really little, though.
He understands. So... He knows that I played, and he knows that UK's the team that we root for.
Yeah.
That's what he knows. Now, we're watching a bunch of football reruns right now, like we were talking about yesterday. And so, like, yesterday it was, who were we watching? It was Oregon and someone. I forgot who it was. But that it was Oregon and USC.
Oh.
And it was a green team and then the red team.
Yeah.
And so he would ask me, who am I going for? And I said, I'm going to go for the green team because I know Oregon's going to win this game.
He goes,
I'm going to go for the red team. And I was like, that's an awful decision, but okay.
You could trick him so hard, you know, the fact that he doesn't
Lincoln
know
Riley's a bum on defense.
Yeah.
But
teach him the truth.
Exactly.
I love that. But he'll sit there and watch with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He keeps about 15, 20 minute attention span when it comes
Good
to football
him.
Right now. So we'll see. But when we come back, Nick Roush put out a really good article kind of analyzing the power ratings for Kentucky, which I kind of want to talk about. UK versus U of L expectations and realistic expectations for the year. And then at 4 o'clock, we've got Carter Barfield, who is the special teams analyst for Florida State. We're going to break down some special teams film and kind of just go through what how special teams has evolved over the past 10, 15 years. You're listening to The Roundtable on ESPN 680.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
In Cal we trust.
You're listening to The Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Welcome back to The Round Table on ESPN 680. Max Godby and Terrillo in. Strebel still in New York.
Mm-hmm. We're never getting him back.
No, he's not coming back.
It's Cooperstown, baby.
Yeah, it's very true.
They did have a cool experience up there, I will say, real quick.
Yes.
Strebel's obviously up there with his son, Kellen, playing some baseball. And they ran into none other than Kirby Smart today. I guess he's up there with his son, Andrew, I think his son's name is. And he said he's the nicest guy, though. They got a group picture.
Oh,
I think
a good Georgia boy.
Yeah, that's right. I think Strebel posted the picture, but he said Kirby even gave him a Go Big Blue at the end of their picture.
To I make call
him
feel. Bull.
And you know what? I believe it, though. Kirby's like that. He's kind of, he could be a good people guy. But Kellen, Strebel's son, so proud of him, he went up to him and he told him, please take it easy on the Caps this year. Okay? Kellen, do the Lord's work. Kellen.
Tell you what, kid. Brock Vandegrift sucks, and he's just like walked away.
You're welcome for that.
Thanks for taking that kid off my hands.
Your trash out. Just kidding. I'm not saying Brock is trash.
No, but it would be hilarious that because of that run-in, because Kirby Smart holds grudges. Like, anytime you insult your team in any way, he's borderline Jordan about this. Like, he will manipulate in his mind.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have a
I'm surprised
Ryan
he hasn't
Day
murdered
moment.
The
exactly.
playoff committee.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to the ESPN Louisville host, James Strebel, Round Daddy. Yeah. See, you weren't kidding. You were round. And guess what? I just slapped your cats around and be like, I thought we had a good, like, Strebel's just back at on his
like,
couch.
Who?
Like, I thought we had a good conversation.
Yeah.
What? See,
Kirby doesn't say it in the media. He says it in pregame, in his pregame
yes.
speech. And he's going to hold up this picture of Strebel. He goes, you see this right here? You see this guy that looks like a pig, that looks like a swine? He says you don't know how to play football. That's what he told me. In New York, drove up just to make a point, say Georgia's overrated, that we've lost our edge. And Strebel's just, they're going to release that soundbite. I could just see Strebel go, what did I say?
Yeah, what did I do?
What did I do?
What did I do? Big boy? Kirby? No, his locker room videos, dude, he might be the best in the game right now. I'm trying to think who else. Who else would be on that level of his?
Oregon's coach, his
oh, Dan Lanning? Oh, yeah.
When
that one after, what was it? What game was it?
Before Colorado.
Yes, that's what it was. Man, yeah. He was. He got so much flack for it, too. And it's like, what are you supposed to do?
When a team that is so far inferior than you mm-hmm. is talking about how they're Hollywood, they're the bad guys, villains, you got to play that up. Like,
and you would
you've
say,
got to.
Whoops, are you?
Oh yeah, and Stoops was really good on the pregame speeches.
Yeah.
Also, he's had some really good ones.
Really?
He had when we played Florida in 2014, it was he went with this whole philosophy of that game. because obviously it was going to be a hostile environment. That was a very young team in 2014.
Yeah.
75% was freshmen and sophomores.
Get out.
It was a young team.
That's wild.
And like I was the second oldest on that team, and there was like a major drop off. Yeah, there was a substantial age gap, and it was in that before that game. It was the premise of when lions hunt, and it was what happens is you have the male lion. They will roar. They'll roar at whatever the prey is, and naturally they'll run away. But when they do, that's when the lioness have already surrounded
the
it.
The ladies. Just like, get out there, fight like a lady.
And
that's awesome.
But every single time when the prey decides to charge that male lion, it doesn't know what to do because at that point it's outflanked and it's able to escape at that point.
Are you serious?
So his whole thing, and he still says it, bring the fight to them, don't flinch, you run into the roar, you run into the crowd noise, and when you go in, you punch them in the mouth, the whole place goes silent. And that's what happened in that Florida game, because I had been there in 2012 when it was loud, and then it got quiet because they were just kicking our teeth in, because we came into that game scared. But when we were hanging on, and when we were at one point beating them, that place, that was the quietest I've ever seen that place ever.
Dude,
ever.
Run into the roar is classic.
Oh, yes.
I'm about to go get that as a leg tat. Run into the roar. Do you think coaches, do you think they like really put it together and prepare it? Or do you think sometimes it's just off the cuff?
I don't know. Well, it depends on the coach.
For sure.
So we had Briley Del Pivato, who is the special teams coordinator for a year. He was here in 2013. He said, they're going to bury me here. And then the next year he went to LSU.
Like, that's why I have trust issues.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, but you know, he was funny. I still liked it. But he, during the one of his pregame speeches, he'd always give these over the top speeches the night before.
They let special teams guy do it.
Oh yeah. It's special team guys, 100%. You always do because there's already two screws loose in their head as is. Because you have
they
to hype
on
up
that chaos.
Special teams. Oh yeah, have
for
to.
Those big moments.
And he did one for Missouri. Actually, no, I'm going to tell the one for Florida since it's 4th of July weekend. It's more patriotic. He talks about how he's down at the D-Day Museum or the World War II Museum, D-Day Museum.
In like Normandy?
Yes. Yeah. And so, he's going through there. He says, hey, you're just seeing what these young men gave up and how they were willing to run into battle a certain death. And he gets to the point where there's veterans that were there. And he says, man, I don't know what to tell you. I went right up to them and I got on my knees. And I said,
oh, no.
You guys. He starts crying and goes, what made you go? And we're like,
what? You're like, well, A, the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, A, we didn't
well,
have
they called
a choice.
One, the draft number. Two, I was in a boat.
Yeah.
And he goes, and you know what they told me? Preparation and the flag. And everyone's laughing, but so hyped up at that point because he was so full tilted on speed.
He was emotional.
Yes.
Like, he was feeling it.
Yes. 100% he was.
I like that, like, people, like, weren't taking it completely seriously. Like, they could laugh at it in the moment. I feel like that would be hard sometimes if a coach is going full tilt on it and it's just like, bro, what is he talking about?
Hey, just let him keep going. He's on a roll.
Just cheer. I'd be the first one in. I'd be like, yeah, I'd be cheering him on to get some more BS out of it.
So, Nick Roush put out this article. And it's really well done. It's up on Three, the KSR website, and it goes on the perspective of two ESPN Power Ratings and then a few other experts in college football. And it had the SB Plus is rather bullish on the Cats. Kentucky ranks number 25 overall, and it's number 14 in returning production, which is the best in the SEC. Using their formula, KSR has calculated that Kentucky will be favored in 7 games and underdogs in 3 others with 2 toss-ups.
Mm-hmm.
However, in those, The FPI ranks Kentucky at 34 and is projected to go 6-6. So it goes in forward. Yikes. It goes in forward with Kelly Ford's K Ford power ratings, and it's a basically it goes in and it looks at the probability based off of the offense, defensive, and special team stats for that season. And it goes into it's really well done. I highly recommend looking up K Ford's rating for UK, but it has them as 6.3 wins with 2.9 conference wins, highest which puts Kentucky at about ninth or tenth in the SEC to finish
about kind of where I think they're pretty much being projected
exactly. And the other thing on this as well, and I'm trying to find it. It moved on me, but it also had it was like a toss up. It looked at the toss up percentage as well, and I'm trying to figure out where it was. It was on here, but it wasn't. But I know that Mike Gandolfo tweeted something at me, so I'm going to bounce over
it's
to that real
too,
quick.
In that same article, they say that Kentucky has the fifth most difficult schedule in college football, according to which ranking was
Yes, the fifth hardest schedule in the country. Which
that,
I mean,
you can't discount that when you're looking at 6-6.
Yes, but at the end of the day, wins matter.
For
and
sure.
Wins matter, and it's just like what Strebel preaches on here. I think he's maybe be a little bit too harsh on it, but you could say both things. You could say that Mark Stoops pulled Kentucky football completely out of the gutter and it's made a respectable SEC program.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also say that 6 wins and 7 wins are no longer acceptable.
I agree with that.
Expectation now is 8-9 wins regularly now.
I feel like the majority of the fans are slowly coming around more to that mentality.
So the 5 guaranteed wins, guaranteed, I mean the ones that Kentucky's favored in, are Southern Miss, South Carolina, Ohio, Vandy, and Murray. Then you have the 50-50 games. These are the toss-up games. Florida, Auburn, U of L. Hmm. And then your long shots, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas.
Yeah.
So on that, I would say that expectation is that you go in, you win those five. You win the 5 that are guaranteed, and then you go 2-1 on your toss-up games, which would be Florida, Auburn, Louisville.
Yeah.
And then just where Georgia's placed on the schedule, you are not going to – Kentucky takes so long in the season to get ramped up and ready to go. They play sluggish. That's what makes the South Carolina game it makes me anxious about that game as well.
I was just going to bring that game up. Like, that's interesting to me that that's on a favored, should probably win. Like, I know South Carolina's not great, but I feel like that has become – a definite toss-up game when Kentucky absolutely should have beat them the past few years.
If you just had a bad offense, not a garbage, putrid, dumpster fire, your offensive corner doesn't know anything offense, if it was just bad, if it was Eddie Grand bad, you win that game by 2 scores.
Yeah.
Same thing with that South Carolina game last year. If Eddie Grand is the OC, you win that game.
Right.
It's just you had two just abysmal games.
And wasn't the one like a few years ago the loss, wasn't Kaya Sharon playing or was that?
Yeah, Kaya Sharon was.
Yeah, so it was
and Scangarello thought it'd be a great idea to run a double reverse pass with a guy that's never started a football game.
That guy was like a mad professor. It's like, what
he was
are
a stupid
you doing?
Professor. He was a stupid professor is what he was.
Not based in reality professor.
That dude was too focused on waitresses at Jeff Ruby's than he was on calling plays.
Get him! Here's the thing, though. That game is like not one that I'm ever... This is just a thing with Kentucky, and I think that's been a big frustration over the past few years, is you're looking at, you know, these kind of historic seasons where you're aiming for try to get 10 wins or at least 8 or 9, but they always have these slip-up games. It usually comes against South Carolina. It's even come against Vanderbilt in the past few years. I'm just not willing to ever. I think that's the thing that Kentucky has lacked, the consistency in these games. They always have that one stinker they just give up, where it makes no sense. Like, yes, I know South Carolina a few years ago, you know, they had the injury to Will Levis. But even last year, it was just these confusing losses. I think that's what people are upset about. If you are, like, I think 6-6 is a stretch for people to deem that really, you know, satisfiable. But let's say 7-5. Okay, if they're hard-fought games against teams that you're really putting up a good fight. But it's the games where you're beating yourself where you should have a better record. I think there's patience there.
I think if it's 7-5, it depends on who those five losses are.
Yeah.
If they are Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas.
Yeah.
And I would say either Florida, Auburn, or Louisville.
Yeah.
That's the a loss to Florida would be a better 7-5 than a loss to Louisville. That would be, because again, it's how you finish that season.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Louisville game does scare me because you're just playing off of Texas. You're a week after Texas, which that's a new stadium, it's a new opponent, it's a new atmosphere.
Everybody's trying to do the horns now.
Exactly. It's
doing new things. Yeah, lots of travel too. I mean, that's a long trip.
That is a long trip, and I mean, still you don't, and then you've also got the time zone issue. And the time zone, it depending on when that game's played, mm-hmm. does play a factor in it. If Kentucky can get like the 3:30, 4:00 slot for that, it'd be better. But if they get a 7:00 or a noon, that will be interesting.
If I were Shane Beamer and I'm seeing those metrics that Kentucky's, you know, favored or like, you know, what they say, how they say it, like kind of a sure win kind of there probably, I'd be so irritated. I would just be reading that on repeat, telling my whole locker room.
Right, but all Beamer knows is just to wear those glasses,
do a little bit of a TikTok, flash some lights, talk some smack.
Yeah, exactly.
You think he's gone after this year if they...
No, I think he gets one more year.
Yeah.
It depends on how they perform this year. Mm-hmm. I think if it's another 5-7 year, he's definitely on the hot seat.
For sure.
But if he makes it to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Because they gave Will Muschamp a long time. They gave him a long time.
They let him mess up a lot.
Yes, they did.
Oh,
yes, they did.
Man. That feels like a lifetime ago when he was there.
Exactly. But so you look at UK's versus Louisville, which Louisville's schedule is more difficult, I would argue, more difficult than last year's.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some good opportunities to build momentum for the season as well. And mm-hmm. I think some very perfectly timed games as well. So you look at your five guarantees would be Austin Peay, Jacksonville State, I would say Stanford, and I'd even say Pitt. I'd say those are your four guaranteed. I would put Virginia in it as well, but Virginia played them very well last year.
They played them very well last year.
That
QB was insane.
Yes.
Like, it was like, oh, they were like 2-9 or like 2-8. And then I was like, all right, this QB could be a hot factor in the transfer portal. But I don't think he left.
Yeah.
No. I don't think he did.
Yeah, that and BC's QB didn't leave, which Castellanos was amazing. It just sucked that his defense got blown apart by the one and only Jack Plummer.
Yeah. I think your toss-up games would be SMU.
Georgia Tech?
No, I think Georgia Tech's a win. Miami. I should have put Boston College. Boston College is a win. That mm-hmm. that's definitely a win. Clemson, and then Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then the only one that I would say they're favored, Louisville fans, do not get mad at me. I would say the only one that they're favored is Notre Dame. That the opponent's favorite is Notre Dame, simply because it's in South Bend.
Yeah.
But that's a game I think Kentucky I think Louisville wins.
I'm so mad.
Don't beat him up after this. Yeah, I think that's a big thing. How do you think...
I think that Notre Dame game is that's going to dictate the season, just like how it did last year.
For sure,
that's going to be a game that's going to be able to drive the momentum to where you're going in and playing SMU, who is a new opponent. Mm-hmm. It's not that they are a better opponent, but it's a new opponent you've never faced. That plays into that toss up for me. But if Louisville goes into Notre Dame, wins that game, and wins it favorably, which I think that's what's going to happen, that sets up the momentum for the rest of the season for them.
I'm curious what you think. How unfavorable of a position do you feel like it put Brohm in to have the success he did last year with that schedule? And that's like, I don't feel like I'm being a hater by saying that. That was the whole conversation going into the season last year. There was even Brett McMurphy, and they even predicted them to go undefeated through the regular season and stuff. So it was like obvious that that played a part in some of the success. But do you think that put him almost to a disadvantage that there'll be less patience this year? Because I feel like as human beings, we like when it's on like an ascent upwards, right? Like, as long as you feel like you're making progress forward. If they don't perform as well this season as last year, how do you think that sets him up for failure in some way?
I don't think so, because one, I think Louisville fans are reasonable, like UK fans, and just understand that it's a completely different season. You can't compare the two. And I mean, that's a 7-5 Kentucky team is going to be a really good team. But that does not mean that the record's going to show that. That doesn't mean that the coaches ain't are going to get truth. Their bonuses for it. And I think as well, sure, the schedule was easier last year. You still have to go out there and win it.
Yeah.
To which Brohm was able to do that. And then there's been times, especially that 2021 season, UK should have gone 11-2.
No.
And they dropped Tennessee. So Louisville only had one hiccup, and that was Pittsburgh.
Right.
That was the only one that was just a genuine hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
Where Kentucky, each time that they've had their stellar season, it's been a great season, but there was always a goof.
Yes.
There was always a goof in the middle of the season that you just can't afford to
Max,
have.
Why is that? What is that about? And why, you know, I just feel like that is something that has put like, it's been like a stain on the Stoops tenure there, that there is always that, even when you're doing really well, it's like they can't get over the hump of just being all on and consistent no matter who they're playing. It's playing down to their opponent. Why is that? What is it like culturally there? Is it, there's something to it that it happens almost every year.
I think once you get into, you also have to see where those games are in the season. Uh-huh. It's always middle of the season.
So
and the
injury.
Middle of the season, those 2-3 weeks in the middle of the season are some of the most dreadful parts of the season, because you're tired, you've got aches and pains, and you're having injuries that you thought you would be over with by now. Mm-hmm. That have now turned into nagging injuries.
But the other team has them too.
Right. So, but that turns it to a point of how do you get the team motivated? And Kentucky always has that goof after a bye week. That
they
bye
do.
Week,
it's the curse. Why?
So I don't know. And I don't know because back in the day, Stoops really used it as kind of an offload week to be able to just let you kind of let the body heal up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And but the exact same thing happened to us. I think we came off of a bye week after LSU and wound up coming in and losing to Missouri just in a dreadful game. Gosh, that was awful. That was an awful experience. But I don't know. You see the best teams, it's how they handle themselves in the middle of the season versus the rest of the season.
And keep it engaged during that bye week. I'm surprised Stoops hasn't maybe changed his philosophy a little bit on that.
Exactly. Texter, how do I know more UK football history than Max's in regards to the quarterbacks? And I responded to him and I said, I bet I know more about offensive line legends.
That's true.
I'm very segmented, very segmented. Yeah. But that's a great question. Yeah, I don't know. Then someone else goes, remember when Max talked UK football, which I'm trying to be fair to both sides.
I'm trying to be.
And then someone puts a derogatory thing about the Lions story. And it's just like, well, that's not nice.
Love that.
Rich
so
Brooks
sweet.
Was better. We thought. It's going to be interesting to compare the two, because I think Brooks was able to do more with what he had, but Stoops took it to a brand to a level that I don't think Brooks was able to do. Yes. It's a great conversation to have, but I think it's hard to compare the two.
And Stoops still developed a lot as well. I think that's how he brought the program, you know, to the new level, was, again, getting those, like Benny Snell, like these guys out of, you know, Ohio, just, what, three stars?
Exactly.
And then turning, especially at running back position, and Josh Allen, another one. So same thing. And now it's just kind of become the expectation there. But I think Stoops almost operates best in that manner of these getting these lunch pail people.
Right. Beamer also knows how to beat UK. I mean, yeah.
He does.
Oh, no. Max, Queen Anna, I come in peace. But
fight us.
Over for Stoops and the Goofs. In years past, old Buttermilk would strategically get some dubs early by scheduling pure cupcakes. Look at this year's schedule. Easy, tough games back to back, though, which even makes it more reasonable. A sub 500 season is on deck. No momentum will be gained. I won't elaborate to the last game of the season. We all know how it's going to end. Y'all just won't admit it.
Is that talks?
It's talks. It's talks.
I always know. That is so true, though. I mean, like, but remember last season, the slow start? I had to dissociate. Like, I was watching the game at, you know, this campus pub in Lexington. I can't remember one of the early games. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, there's no time for that now. You can't do the slow starts figured out.
But that's going to be the ultimate test for this coaching staff, is you don't have that benefit. You're now backed into a corner. How are you going to respond at that point? How are you going to change your philosophy as a coach going into the season now?
So, great point.
Tox didn't mean to, but he made a very good point.
Dang,
he made
a very good point. Smart, Tox.
UK football will lose to Texas because of jet lag and a cold affecting several players and being overprepared, like Joe Biden. That's a good text. It's because Kentucky is going to spend so much time. I mean, really dialed in and knowing the game. There are going to be savants in that game. And, you know, it doesn't help Texter that Texas is going to lie about everything.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to lie about everything.
And they might even have a better golf handicap. So it's not our fault.
Texter, so you think Louisville's favorite at Clemson? Honestly, I think so. I think they are going to. I think they are going to be favored against Clemson. This is my hot take for the ACC. I don't know if it's that much of a hot take. I think Clemson's on the decline. I think Dabo's lost the edge.
Does
especially,
he have any transfer portal guys yet?
No.
Still, bro.
Or minimal. He has minimal. I think that Dabo is refusing to adapt to this because every coach we've talked to, what have they all said? They've adapted. Mm-hmm. They've adapted. Dabo's the only one that's not adapting.
Gonna sink with the ship.
Exactly. And that's when you know when you've got a stellar coach is ones that are willing to adapt to the changing landscape.
I saw a funny tweet that involves Clemson. So apparently in the new college football game, like when, say, you take JMU or something, and you do good in that like the Sun Belt, then like you get an invite to like the ACC, like they'll update the jerseys where like you'll have the ACC patch, they'll update the field.
Yeah.
And there was a screenshot of one that had Clemson, and they, for some whatever reason, got moved to the MAC. And there was a response to say, you say, oh, Clemson, what's Clemson going to do now that they're a MAC team? Well, in my mind, brother, Clemson's always been a MAC team, mindful about Christ.
Name image and likeness of Christ, baby.
Oh, that's cringe.
Dabo.
One more.
I thought you were going to say it was going to have Dabo like running out on the field in the game. Classic.
It needs to. It genuinely needs to. Last text. There's a bunch of texts, but we'll get to them next segment. Texter, why do we not talk about Louisville dodging both Clemson and Florida State when evaluating the 2023 season? Record was inflated by avoiding the two best teams in the conference, which it's not a bad point, but it also comes back to, if you're given the gift of an easy schedule, are you willing to capitalize on the easy schedule? Because there's been times where Kentucky didn't have to play Alabama, or the West was very well lined up, especially like 2021, where your other West opponent was LSU on a down year, which was still an awesome game. Like, I enjoyed just watching Kentucky kick LSU's teeth in.
God, I love that. I was at a wedding watching that.
But Kentucky also messed up against Tennessee.
Yeah.
In the Tennessee game. And then who they lose to is Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lost to both. I'm not sure. I'm not sure who won in the 2020 during that 2021 season, but I felt like they dropped back to back games. But it just goes back to that point. That's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine to be able to have a soft schedule. You still have to go out there, coach, and play and win the game.
That's right.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to have Coach Carter Barfield on, who's special analyst for Florida State. Have him talk. We're going to ask him a lot about special teams and how special teams has definitely evolved in the game. And it's going to be a great segment. It's definitely going to be. You're listening to the Roundtable on ESPN 680.